It affords me great pleasure to come to you, dear friends, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the message which I trust may be helpful as we are starting out in the new year in the will of God. This is T.B. Gilbert speaking. Our text is found in Luke chapter 5, verses 36 to 38, and our subject is Salvation is Something New. Now I shall read at this time Luke 5, 36 to 38. And Jesus spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then the new maketh the rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. When the Lord Jesus was here, he spoke in parables. Parables are illustrations. Some have said they are earthly stories with heavenly meaning. We've read two parables about putting a new piece of cloth in an old garment and putting new wine in old bottles. The new cloth put into an old garment would be useless because it would tear the old, which is weaker, and its own usefulness would be destroyed also. The bottles in those days were made of skins. The new wine would burst the old bottles, and they would become useless. Then the Lord said something that seems to contradict this in verse 39. In the following verse, no man also having drunk old wine desires something new, for he said the old is better. This seems to infer that most people did not want Christ and salvation because it was something new. Applying that now, people will be satisfied with their Jewish religion or Mohammedanism, or if they are brought up in a certain cult or professed Christian organization, even if they are not sure they're saved, it'll be hard to change them. They say, well, what I believe satisfied my father and my mother, my grandfather and my grandmother, my great-great-grandfather and my great-grandmother, and I'm not going to change to something new. Most religions, and even most professed Christians, think salvation depends on what they do. That's religion. Salvation, as God has provided it in Christ for lost sinners, is a gift. It depends upon what Christ has done for us and not on what we do. That's something new. It never was heard of before. Let me read you a verse from Romans chapter 4, verse 5, which proves this, and I quote, not to him that worketh, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, doesn't that sound strange? Every religion on earth has something in it and believes that God is not saving man through a gift, but on the ground of his works. And that the man who does not work won't be saved. But here, this scripture says, not to him that worketh, but the one who believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. God is justifying unworthy sinners who believe in Jesus. It is not your church work, nor my church work, or our own works, nor our obediences that save us. God justifies ungodly sinners who believe on Jesus. This is something new to most people, even today. Salvation by grace without money and without works. All a lost sinner can do is to put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and was buried and rose again to save him. You will recall the young man who had great riches who came to Jesus and said, what good thing shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? This young man was brought up under the law, which said man must do things in order to live. He did not know that in Christianity a person receives eternal life as a gift. For we read in Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we work for something, then it is not a gift. That's why so few people know they are going to heaven. They talk of working instead of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. The young man went away sorrowful because he had great riches. And many today will be disappointed if they hear Jesus say, salvation is something new. It cannot be purchased. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus told this young man to sell all that he had and give to the poor. Then he said, take up your cross and follow me. Today we don't want a cross. We don't like to be different than others, even in our views. But if we want God's salvation, we are called upon to give up our religion and our efforts, no matter how dear they may seem to us. You may have your father and mother's religion, but if you're not trusting Christ for everything, you don't have this salvation that Jesus has procured for sinners. He said you must hate father, mother, brother, sister, wife, and your own life, or you cannot be my disciples. Luke chapter 2, 14, 26. We dare not allow anyone, no matter how dear they are, to hinder us from trusting Christ and giving our lives to Him. He is Lord and demands this decision. Many people will be in hell because they listen to others instead of believing God's word. The young man had to give up the things he had accumulated here. If Christ is a Savior, we must give up everything of our own and give Him full credit. He cannot be a Savior if He does not do it all. Our lives after we're saved is another matter. I'm talking about salvation as a new thing. We must not cut the Lord Jesus Christ short. He did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. However, if we do not accept the Savior, we must meet the judge and suffer the consequences of our own sin. The biggest job any one of us has is to find out he is a sinner, that he is a part of a lost world, that through sin we are all corrupt in God's sight and all of our righteousnesses are filthy rags. When we find this out, we shall be glad to have this new salvation which comes to sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said you must be born again in order to get into the kingdom or even see it. It is a new life we must obtain now if we are going to live right in God's sight, and must have if we are going to be in heaven. Christ said, without me you can do nothing. Paul said, Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The only happy people are those who walk according to the will of God. In the measure a Christian yields his life to God, he will have joy and power. In Ezekiel 47:1 we read that the waters which will flow like a river from under the new temple at Jerusalem will flow into the Dead Sea and heal its waters, also into the miry places and the marshes. Even so today, the sins and failures of the flesh are overcome only in the measure Christ and the Holy Spirit are known in the life of the Christian. We need the power of God to save us and the power of God to live the Christian life. In eternity, there will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. There will then be no more sin, no more death, no more crying, no more pain, for the former things have passed away. The Lord often pays us well, even now, for things we give up for Him after we become Christians. It is true Christians should live right. They should yield themselves to God as those who are alive from the dead, and their members as instruments of righteousness unto God. They should present their bodies living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Christian reward will depend on how they live and what they do after they are saved. But it is one thing to work and do for the Lord because we are saved, and quite another to try to be our own Savior and thus rob Christ of His glory as such. Christianity is receiving a new life and becoming a part of a new creation and going to a new home in heaven. It will mean to enjoy both a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Just think of that, friends. God is making people righteous through His Son, that they might dwell in a sphere of righteousness and perfection and glory forever. Now, none of us deserve such wonderful blessings which God has in store for the creature who is saved through his Son. But God will be glorified through everyone who gets into heaven. It will be on the ground of sovereign grace alone, not grace we have earned or deserved, but the grace of God that brought salvation to us when we were lost and enemies of his by wicked works. God's grace will give Christians the highest seat in heaven, sitting with his Son and his bride, his heirs. They will not only be washed and cleansed from their sins through Christ's blood, they will be glorified together with him and be his nearest associates. That's what the grace of God offers you, my unconverted friend. But if you refuse grace, God will give you a fair trial and a just judgment in the lake of fire forever. That's where you and I deserve to go because we're sinners. The law was given by Moses. The law offers salvation by works. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He is the eternal life. He is a gift. Why not make Christ your own personal Savior today? You will need him. Yes, he wants to give you this new life and a new heart, and that you might live this coming year for him. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for this great salvation given in through the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless every listener. Remember the tried and oppressed. And as you face this year, grant that we may give Christ his true place and that he might be glorified. We ask in his precious name. Amen. Thank you, friends, for listening. God bless you.